Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're pulling back the curtain on one of those invisible forces, you know, the ones that quietly power our entire digital lives. Yeah. It's kind of the silent engine behind nearly every app you open, every search, every time you buy something online.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're talking about databases. Sounds maybe a bit dry, but it's incredibly common, yet, well, profoundly impactful.
Right. And our mission today is really to make it crystal clear why they're just so indispensable.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Exactly. We've looked at quite a range of sources, some really good introductory guides that nail the basics, plus some fascinating examples of how they're used in practice.
So not just theory.
No, definitely not. The goal isn't just to, like, define a database. We want to show you how they're different from other ways you might store data. The things you already know.
Like spreadsheets.
Like spreadsheets, yeah.
Yeah.
And reveal the, honestly, surprising impact they have every single day. You should hopefully have some real aha moments connecting this to your own digital life.
I'm ready. So let's just cut right to it. At its most basic, what is a database?
Well, our sources put it pretty simply. It's essentially a collection of information. But crucially, it's designed specifically to store and organize data so it's easier to get to.
Easier to access?
Okay.
Like a super efficient librarian for your info.
That's a great way to think about it, yeah. Whether it's, you know, customer contact lists, a shop's inventory, patient records.
Or even like your own collection of books or movies if you're really organized.
Totally. If you've cataloged them carefully, yeah. Databases make sure that info isn't just stored, but it's findable. Quickly findable.
Right. Findable.
And that's the key point. You store info anywhere, technically. But the real defining thing about a database, especially when you talk about lots of data.
Which is pretty much everything nowadays.
Exactly. It's the ability to handle larger amounts of data because it has an underlying structure. That structure makes huge amounts of data accessible and, well, useful.
So it's not just a big digital box.
Not at all. It's about making sense of it, especially at scale.
Okay. Now, this brings us to something you mentioned, the spreadsheet comparison. It's a common point of confusion, right?
Oh, definitely.
And our sources are pretty blunt. Spreadsheets are not databases.
They really aren't, though they look similar sometimes. Both store and organize data, absolutely. But their strengths, they lie in different areas.
So what's the breakdown? Where does each one shine?
Okay, so spreadsheets, think Excel or Google Sheets. Fantastic for calculations, straightforward data entry, quick charts on, you know, smaller data sets.
Like my personal budget.
Perfect example. Or a small project plan. Great for one person, maybe a tiny team. Databases, though, they excel, pardon the pun, at manipulating huge amounts of data.
Manipulating? How so?
Running complex reports, updating information across massive data sets really easily, linking different types of information together. And here's the real kicker, the critical advantage. Databases are just far superior when multiple people need access to the data, especially if the access needs are simultaneous.
Okay. That makes intuitive sense. Trying to have 50 people update the same spreadsheet at once.
Chaos. Absolute chaos. You get version control nightmares, people overwriting each other's work, lost data. It just doesn't scale for collaboration.
Right. That simultaneous multi-user thing is the game changer. It's not just your personal spice rack anymore. It's the inventory for a whole supermarket chain.
Exactly. You wouldn't run Amazon's inventory on a spreadsheet.
Definitely not. Okay, so that multi-user aspect is huge, and that leads nicely into how the data gets stored, right? This idea of structured versus unstructured data.
Yes, this is fundamental. Understanding this helps explain why databases are so powerful. Structured data, well, it's structured, organized.
Like in neat boxes.
Pretty much. It fits neatly into rows and columns, like a table. Because it's so organized, you can do things like version control on just parts of the data. You can run very specific targeted queries.
Ask specific questions, you mean?
Exactly. Like, show me all customers in California who bought product X. It's designed to be readable for both people and machines. And machines love structured data because it's predictable. They know where everything is.
Like an index in a book.
A very, very good index.
Yeah.
And our sources really stress that structured data is easier to run ML, machine learning algorithms against. Plus, there are just more tools available for working with it.
Okay, so that's structured. What about unstructured?
Unstructured is, well, everything else. Think of a block of text in an email, a photo, a video file, an audio recording. It doesn't have that predefined format.
So harder to search, precisely.
Much harder. Version control usually applies to the whole file, not pieces of it.
Yeah.
And searching is typically limited to keywords, not those specific fields like in structured data.
Got it. And speaking of structured data, there's a common format used to handle it, right? CSV.
Ah, yes. CSV, comma separated values. You see it everywhere.
What exactly is it?
It's basically a text file that lets us send data in plain text while keeping it organized into tables. Super simple, but incredibly useful.
Useful how? Like moving data around?
Exactly that. It's fantastic for getting data from one place to another, like exporting from a spreadsheet and importing it into a database. That's a classic use case.
And it works between different programs.
Yep, because it's not proprietary. No single company owns the format, so pretty much any program that handles data can read or write a CSV file. Great for sharing.
Makes sense. Any other uses?
Yeah, sometimes it's used for long-term data storage, too, because it's fast to process, humans can actually read it, and the files are relatively small compared to some other formats.
And despite the name comma separated.
Right, it doesn't have to be commas. You can use other symbols delimiters like tabs, spaces, semicolons, even colons sometimes. Useful if your actual data has commas in it, like, say, in an address field.
Ah, okay. To avoid confusion.
Precisely. You need a clear way to mark where one piece of data ends and the next begins.
Okay. So we know what they are, how they structure data using things like tables and CSV, but let's dig into the why. Why do we actually need databases? It sounds like more than just storage.
Oh, much more. This is where it gets really interesting. It really boils down to a few core things. Efficiency, insight, collaboration, and consistency.
All right, let's take those one by one. Efficiency.
Efficiency first. Databases let us store truly massive amounts of data more effectively than, say, just folders full of files. And importantly, they let us organize it in lots of ways at the same time, tailored to view to what you need.
And that leads to insights.
Directly to insight generation. Because the data is organized, you can easily run reports, ask those specific questions, queries to answer business questions. What's this customer's email? How many units did they buy last month, last year? How much did we sell overall?
So turning raw data into actual answers.
Exactly. That's where the magic happens. Discovering patterns, finding your most valuable customers, seeing trends you'd never spot otherwise. It drives strategic decisions.
And you mentioned collaboration earlier, avoiding the spreadsheet chaos.
Right. Collaboration is central. Databases are built from the ground up to allow multiple simultaneous other people to also store and process data safely without messing things up.
Which is essential for any team, really.
Absolutely. And that ties into the last point, consistency. By having centralized locations for data, databases ensure everyone is using the same data. Everyone has access to the latest correct information.
So no more conflicting reports or outdated customer info.
Ideally, yes. It leads to much better business practices. Think about customer service. Every agency has the same history, the same details. Sales knows what inventory really exists. Logistics knows where things are. It builds accuracy and trust.
It's kind of amazing when you step back. These capabilities are just humming along behind almost everything we do online.
They really are, powering the apps, the services, the whole digital infrastructure.
Okay, now our sources mentioned there are different types of databases: relational, non-relational, hierarchical, geographic, lots of flavors.
Yeah. It's a whole world out there.
Maybe another deep dive for another day. But for now, you mentioned we'd focus on relational databases because they're so common.
Exactly. They are incredibly common and form the backbone of so much. Relational databases have a really powerful way of structuring information.
How so?
Well, they organize data into those familiar rows and columns to form tables. But the key idea isn't just one giant table. The data is structured across multiple tables.
Okay, multiple tables. How do they connect?
That's the relational part. The tables connect or relate to each other using primary or foreign keys.
Keys, like unlocking something.
Sort of. Think of them as unique ID numbers. A customer table might have a unique customer ID. The orders table would also have a customer ID column. That ID is the link, the key, connecting a specific customer to all their specific orders.
Ah, I see. So you can link different pieces of information together.
Precisely. It allows for really complex relationships. So using that example, you have your customer table, your products table, your sales table. Because they're linked by these keys, you can ask really specific questions across all of them. Like, show me all customers in New York who bought product Y more than twice in the last 6 months. You're pulling info from multiple tables to get one answer. That ability to cross-reference is the real aha moment of relational design.
That is powerful. Okay, so if these relational databases are these structured, interconnected systems, how do we actually talk to them? How do you ask those questions?
Good question. That's where SQL comes in.
SQL, heard of it. Structured query language.
That's the one. SQL is basically how you interact with a relational database.
Yeah.
It is the language you use to ask questions of your database, retrieve data, update it, add new data, define the tables themselves.
So it's like learning French to talk to someone in France. You learn SQL to talk to the database.
Perfect analogy. Hmm. And you might hear people pronounce it SQL, spelling it out, or sometimes as SQL.
Both are okay.
Yep, both are common and generally accepted. It's the key that unlocks all that organized data.
Okay, so SQL is the language. What about things like MySQL? Is that the same thing?
Ah, great clarification.
Yeah.
No, they're related but different. SQL is the language. MySQL is an example of a database management system, or DBMS.
The software.
Exactly. It's the actual software program that uses SQL to manage the database.
Hmm.
Think of MySQL, PostgreSQL, Oracle, Microsoft SQL Server.
Yeah.
Those are the platforms. Yeah. SQL is a standard language they all understand to let you interact with the data they hold.
Got it. SQL is the language, MySQL and others is the database system itself.
You got it. So if we try and, you know, connect all these dots, pull it together, our deep dive took us from just defining a database, this collection of information,
right,
to understanding the importance of structure, how relational databases use tables and keys.
And how SQL lets us talk to them.
Exactly. We've seen how these systems go way beyond just storing stuff. They become fundamental tools for efficiency, organization, and decision-making.
In, well, almost everything.
Pretty much. From tracking your personal collection, like we joked about, to running massive global operations, it's all about making sense of huge amounts of information.
So wrapping this up, what does this really mean for you listening right now? Why does understanding databases, even at this level, matter?
Well, I think it means that this isn't just for the tech gurus or the coders anymore. Understanding the basics of databases helps you understand the backbone of, well, almost every modern company, every app, every online service you touch.
From banking to social media.
From your bank processing transactions instantly and accurately to your social feed showing you relevant stuff to online shopping knowing what's in stock. Databases are there, quietly making it all work. Ensuring the data is organized, consistent, and ready when you need it.
It really is the hidden plumbing of the digital world.
That's a good way to put it. And that leads us to maybe a final thought for you to mull over. We generate more data now than ever before, right? The volume is just exploding.
Seems like it, yeah.
So considering that massive, ever-growing amount of information, what do you think are the next challenges? What innovations are emerging in how we manage and use these databases? How might those changes affect how you interact with data in the future? Might it reshape this digital landscape we rely on?
Something to think about. How do we handle even more data, even faster, maybe even more intelligently?
Exactly. What comes next? Definitely something to consider until our next deep dive.